Amazon, Starbucks, the Gates Foundation, and Microsoft. These global powerhouses are the products of people who dreamed big and made their dreams come true in Seattle. KUOW's Marcy Silman introduces us to the man who laid the foundation for Seattle to become the Jet City, a global economic powerhouse.
Every weekday morning, thousands of young Amazon workers overrun the streets of Seattle's South Lake Union neighborhood, lanyards swinging, eyes on their cell phones. Many of these people are new to the region, lured here by Seattle's tech-fueled economy. Most have no idea what the term Jet City means.
No, I've never heard that phrase before.
Chicago?
Jet City. Honestly, nothing off the top of my head. Maybe think Seattle due to Boeing and their headquarters here.
And most don't know the Boeing aircraft empire started just a couple of miles north of Amazon's epicenter, right here on the shores of Lake Union. A young man named William Edward Boeing, Bill for short, dreamed of a time when airplanes would be as common as the horse-drawn carriage.
So that first airplane, the BMW.
Michael Lombardi is standing in Boeing's vast underground archive, leafing through some early photos of Boeing aircraft. Lombardi is Boeing's corporate historian.
There it is on Lake Union.
This first Boeing craft was a seaplane made of wood covered with lacquered cloth, hand-sewn by the company's first female employees. Like so many of today's Amazon workers, including company founder Jeff Bezos, Bill Boeing came to Seattle from someplace else. And like Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates, Boeing was an Ivy League dropout. He left Yale and headed west to start a timber business near Hoquiam. Timber was lucrative, but Michael Lombardi says Boeing was a young man in search of the next big thing.
He liked cars. He liked boats. And so it was really natural that when he had the opportunity to see an airplane, that he just fell in love with that.
That was in Los Angeles in 1910, just 7 years after the Wright brothers made their first successful sustained flight. Boeing bought his own plane a few years later.
And Bill Boeing didn't think it was the best airplane, and he thought he could improve on it, which he did. He took that basic design and improved it, and that was his first airplane.
That same year, 1916, he and a partner started the airplane company we now know as Boeing. Bill Boeing wasn't only interested in flight. He envisioned an airplane industry.
Bill Boeing was very similar to a lot of the high-tech entrepreneurs.
That's Margaret O'Mara, an associate professor of history at the University of Washington.
The airplane. I mean, goodness, you know, there was no commercial market. This was very dangerous. The idea of air travel becoming something that people do on a, you know, regular basis was so beyond the imagining of the America of 1916, and he saw that future.
By 1929, Boeing manufactured airplanes as well as the engines and propellers that powered them. The company even ran its own airline. And Boeing had an exclusive contract with the U.S. Post Office. Ironically, this empire was his undoing. When Democrats took power in 1930, they accused Boeing of monopolistic practices. Senator Hugo Black led that charge, according to Michael Lombardi.
His accusation was that Bill Boeing and others had colluded with the Postmaster General to get exclusive contracts. Bill Boeing was brought before Congress.
And though he denied the charges, ultimately his corporation was split into three separate companies, United Technologies, United Airlines, and the Boeing Airplane Company.
But the damage was done. It was a personal affront to his dignity. And he was, you know, I'm tired of this whole business, and he retired.
That was in 1934. Boeing was still in its infancy, left to chart a future without its founder. But it had planted the seeds of a Seattle to come. I'm Marcy Silman, KUOW News.
Bill Boeing launched his first airplane more than a century ago. It flew a grand total of 900 feet over Seattle's Lake Union. Seattle was still a frontier outpost. As Boeing grew, so did the city. By the mid-20th century, Seattle had morphed into the Jet City, a budding global powerhouse. KUOW's Marcy Silman from our City of Dreams team has more.
This is where we make wings.
Inside Boeing's enormous Renton plant, work is underway on the 737 passenger jet. The 737 is the world's best-selling commercial airplane, a big contributor to the company's bottom line. Boeing's modern commercial success started with the 707. Back in 1954, a test pilot named Tex Johnson made headlines when he took a prototype for a spin. Johnson executed a full roll right over the Seafair crowds.
I was there. Dad and I were there that day.
Paul Harvey was a teenager at the hydroplane races that day with his father, a longtime Boeing engineer.
We heard the airplane coming. Behind us, we were down near Seward Park, and I said, Dad, did you see that? He said, he's not supposed to do that.
That daring feat impressed the aviation industry, and it helped earn Seattle the nickname Jet City.
That's a racy term. When you said Jet City, woo-wee, that was styling. That was fancy. That was avant-garde.
It immediately elevates Seattle to a globally connected place.
University of Washington historian Margaret O'Mara says the term also co-branded Boeing and Seattle.
Some of the images I love to show in my classes are those wonderful publicity shots that Boeing always did of its new aircraft flying in front of Mount Rainier.
O'Mara says Jet City wasn't just marketing hype. Local fortunes were firmly tied to Boeing's fortunes.
For the better part of a half century, this was Boeing's town. And it wasn't just the biggest employer. It was an employer that employed everyone from white-collar engineers and managers to people working on the assembly line. It was a company that brought economic opportunity to a huge swath of people and shaped its sensibility.
Early on, founder Bill Boeing looked at people's job qualifications, not necessarily their gender or race. A Chinese engineer named Wang Tzu helped design Boeing's first airplane. Corporate historian Mike Lombardi says Boeing hired its first female engineer, Helen Holcomb, in 1917.
One of the biggest problems they had when they built their new office is that it didn't have a ladies' washroom. And he said, once we get that problem fixed, he instructed his folks to go out. He says, I want you to make an effort to hire women.
At its height in 1969, 103,000 people in the Puget Sound region worked for Boeing, more than twice Amazon's current local workforce. But when Congress canceled the American Supersonic Transport Project, the SST, in 1971, almost overnight, more than half those people lost their jobs. The company revived, but its relationship with Seattle was never the same. By 1997, Boeing merged with rival McDonnell Douglas. In 2001, the company moved its corporate headquarters. Boeing was no longer a hometown player. For Seattle, it was like a nasty divorce.
Part of, I think, why Boeing slips off the radar screen is that, you know, the headquarters moved to Chicago. And so you don't have this very strong psychic connection between the place and the products.
But it had paved the way for companies that followed. By then, heavy hitters like Microsoft and Starbucks had set up shop in Seattle. Younger generations were more familiar with rock bands like Nirvana and Soundgarden than they were Boeing airplanes. Seattle's identity as the Jet City had faded, but Boeing corporate historian Michael Lombardi says Bill Boeing's influence here has been undeniable.
You know, we look at today at some of these pioneers of some of these great modern businesses here in the Seattle area. I think Bill Boeing really set that tone. When people say, what's in the water in Seattle? I think it's Bill Boeing.
In Seattle, I'm Marcy Silman, KUOW News.